I just want to stress the urgency of this, but also, again, if you stick to what you do best, whether it's development or design or content, expand your specialization with accessibility because, hey, it's not rocket science.
No, I don't think so. I think it's the opposite. It is keeping the end user in mind. And it's, and as a designer or a copywriter or a developer, that is your job to keep the end user in mind.
Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to the new accessibility lineup on all things WordPress and WooCommerce, a Do the Woo podcast show. This show is brought to you by OmniSend, the email and the SMS marketing CRM solution for WooCommerce shops and your own site. And Hostinger, whether you are building a WordPress site or specifically a Woo shop, their infrastructure brings your client sites speed, uptime, and security. I'll tell you more about our sponsors later in the show, but let's dive into the very first of a monthly series on accessibility with our new co-hosts, Anne and Taka. These two are incredibly passionate about accessibility, and that will come through when you hear them not only tell you a bit about their own stories, but what they have planned for the show. And one last teaser, when we first started this episode, little did they know they would be co-hosting.
Hello, welcome to the Do the Woo Accessibility Podcast. My name is Annemieke Bovelet, but feel free to call me Anne because my very Dutch name is way too difficult to remember. And to make it even more difficult, today we have someone with even a more difficult name, Taka Reinga from Level. Now, this is our first show, so we're still finding our way. And I will start by having Taka introduce himself, and then I will introduce myself, and then we're going to talk about accessibility and profitability in accessibility in WooCommerce and e-commerce in general in a way you probably would never expect. So, Taka, shoot.
Wow. Thank you, Anne. I always call you Annemieke, but I'm now going to call you Anne. It's way shorter. Yeah, so my name, Taka Reinga, it's a name that I think only the Dutch can pronounce. I've heard plenty of variations, but you can call me Taka or anything close to that. Yeah, I just learned that I'm the co-host of the show, which is amazing. I figured I was just going to be a guest, but we're going to make this into a monthly thing, which is really exciting. Because I think both Anne and I have a lot to tell and a lot of questions to ask also when it comes to accessibility, a topic that is really dear to our hearts. I've been running Level, a WordPress agency in the Netherlands, in Rotterdam in the Netherlands, for 18 years now. So that's quite a bit. It's a full service WordPress agency. WordPress is our web of choice. And over the years, we have delivered so many WordPress websites and WooCommerce webshops. I never counted them. I have no clue, but it's quite a bunch. Some of them won some awards here and there. You could find projects of ours in media being mentioned in some cases for their accessible character, because this is something that is really in the DNA of Level. I'm sure we're going to address more on the WordPress and WooCommerce part that we're both in during the podcast, the upcoming podcast and others. And something that I would like to mention is, besides Level, with this accessibility knowledge, we decided that something that's really important is to spread this message and make sure that accessibility, that it becomes more accessible for a larger audience, because it's often seen as something that is difficult or hard to achieve or costly. And we really feel that we should counter these sentiments. And that's why we decided, I believe, in 2020 to launch the Accessibility Collective, or the ALI Collective, or the LI Collective. It doesn't really matter how you pronounce it. And that's an e-learning platform where we share all our accessibility knowledge on topics of accessible content, accessible code, accessible design, the business case that we'll be addressing today as well, as introduced the podcast. So that's really something to check out. If you feel this is a topic that you're interested in, make sure to enroll in one of our free courses and maybe later move on to the more in-depth courses or masterclasses that we have on offer.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a bit about you?
Yeah. before we started the show, we were chatting a little, because some people get the impression that I've been doing accessibility for 100 years, but actually I haven't. I've been creating websites since 1998, so that is way over 25 years by now.
That's like forever.
I still worked in something horrible like Frontpage. Oh, if you want to talk dirty words.
You got to start somewhere.
Yeah, after that, Dreamweaver came and everything was saved. Except I didn't know anything about accessibility without knowing that. I knew you have to have your heading orders, things in order and stuff like that, but I didn't. And then 4 years ago, I saw this very confronting tweet from a lady who works for Microsoft. And I'll share that tweet, the link to that tweet in the show notes, where she was speaking about her dad, who was very sad. Again, because he couldn't surf the web by himself. He was blind and he wanted to surf the web just for a week by himself. And then she asked, do you think your website is accessible? Are you wondering about that? If you're wondering about that, then it sure as, I'm not going to swear here. It isn't, because this is my free translation of what she said. I think she was much more polite than I am. And that totally triggered me. I'm also part of the target group. One of the less obvious target groups for accessibility. I have ADHD on steroids. So I'm like this Duracell bunny on speed. I speak fast. I think fast. I respond fast. And that got me into a total hyper-focus into accessibility. What does it mean? And then I discovered accessibility documentation is drier than the Sahara in the summer. And I was like, oh, man, how are you going to teach people about this? And then I saw accessible government websites, and I'm like, geez, these are so boring.
Boring as fuck.
These are so boring. Is this accessible design? And then I thought, no, this can't be. Accessibility is actually calling people out to become very creative as a designer. My own website looks like a rainbow, and I did that on purpose. Just to show you, hey, you can use all the colors in the world. So one of the things that I decided to do is not to become one of those specialists that does audits and teaches. I can do it, but I prefer to create this sense of normalcy about accessibility within companies. That's what I get hired for. I get hired to first talk to the management and then to talk to the teams and say, I don't care why you would make something accessible because it increases your profit like crazy in your web shop, or because, which should be the main reason, because it's the right thing to do, because nobody wants the door in their face slammed when they are going to buy something. So this is me. This is what I do. I have a big mouth. I'm so happy that Bob decided to ask if I wanted to do this. And then today we spontaneously decided to have Taki as a co-host. And most of all, very important, is accessibility is surrounded by some fear, some worry, some there are legal implications. The law is coming. Oh, you're going to get fined if you're not accessible. But the main thing for this show is to make you really want to learn how to make your stuff accessible, to come from yes, that you're all very powerful. You coders out there, man, if you exchange your div or your span for a semantic element, you're gaining points, man or girl or they or them.
But that's where it starts. We briefly had a chat just before the recording started. The role of the people that make the web, the ones that make the web, the designers, the developers, and that is immensely the decision to make a accessible project should not be made in the boardroom. That should be a designer or a developer that wants to do better and create a cooler project than the one before. And that's really, I think that's really what we want to achieve with this podcast as well. And I think in general, when talking about this topic on accessibility, that it becomes something you simply want to do better. And on one hand, of course, there's the ethical argument. It's the right thing to do, as you just mentioned. And I think if we dig into some numbers, who benefits from web accessibility, then you start to realize it's not just an ethical argument. you're doing this for yourself. You're doing this for your parents. You're doing this for your grandparents, making the web a better place. So I think over the course of the coming months, when talking accessibility on this amazing podcast, we'll go into the depths of, we're going to debunk all the myths that there are. There are so many. There's fears, as you just mentioned, but there is so many myths around accessibility and stuff that we as an agency also have. We have proof and hands to show that these myths are false. They can be debunked. A government website doesn't have to be boring as hell.
And also, you know what's very important? You're going to learn how you can argue with your boss when he says, give me the numbers, or why should I do that? Why should I invest in this?
What is the business case?
What is the business case?
And there's quite some arguments to make there. It's about making more. If we're talking e-commerce, making more money simply by selling more or having a wider audience. But it's also about reducing costs and mitigating risk. In some countries, the risk of being not accessible are higher than in others. But this is a topic that I would say we could have a full hour just talking about the upcoming law, the European Accessibility Act in 2025. Does it mean? For who is it? Why should you be caring right now or yesterday, basically? Because the clock is ticking. Yeah, there is so much to say and so much to tell about the topic. And I think we should really involve people in this podcast as well that benefit from it. You just told us about your ADHD on steroids. I'm a pretty abled person. I don't have anything that limits me in the way I use the web, except for the fact that I suddenly have a baby around and sometimes you have two crying kids at the same time. I can tell you that your concentration is gone and you have no clue anymore what you started 2 seconds ago. It's a really broad spectrum and we should really bring people on board of this podcast that can share their experiences firsthand instead of us filling in the gaps for them. Let them share how they use the web, what they find important, what kind of barriers they are running into. So yeah, I guess this kind of gives a bit of an idea of what we are looking for with this podcast.
Yeah, right? It is. And one of the things I really want to hear from you today, because I think it's the entrance of the year, is this research that you have done in the Dutch world of big web shops.
Our accessibility in e-commerce research. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because we are on Do the Woo. Of course, we're talking about WooCommerce. We're talking about e-commerce. And I think accessibility in e-commerce is probably even more understood and the urgency of it is more understood than anything else, because if you can't buy what you need, there's trouble on all sides. It's not just on the side of the buyer, it's also on the side of the seller. And I think every year you do this, or every 2 years?
No, it's every year. This year we presented the third research. So for three consecutive years, we conducted this research on the accessibility status of the 5th largest webshops in the Netherlands. And we based that on the Twinkle Top 100. And Twinkle is a magazine about e-commerce. It's a Dutch magazine about e-commerce. And once per year, they publish the top 100 of the biggest shops. And TLDR, our main finding here is that at 8 out of 15 web shops, it is impossible for people with a motor or visual impairment to place an order without a mouse. And when you have a visual or a motor impairment, you use maybe a Braille keyboard, you use the keyboard, but you're not using a mouse to point and click. So that's a completely different way of navigating on the web. And it's shocking that 8 out of 15 of the 15 biggest, so we're talking big names here. Apple is there, MediaMarkt, Jumbo, and some really big companies with huge turnover, huge profits. And half of them are not accessible if you're not able to use a mouse.
They're losing millions. Literally, they're losing millions every year.
Millions.
If you're going into a store and you feel unwelcome in any way, even if you can't, this feeling you come into the store and there's a clothing on the rack and then some of these things don't have a label. This is just a day-to-day situation. It can happen to anyone. It doesn't have a label. I don't know about you, but I get irritated. And I get so irritated, I don't even want to ask the salesperson what that thing costs. I'm just like, I don't know what this costs. Forget it. I'll go somewhere else.
I'm sure our shopping behavior is different. I don't run into shops that often, but that irritation is real. If I need to chase someone to help me out to find a price or get something in the right size and all that, I'm already annoyed. I'm like, come on.
Yeah. And this happens to a lot of users in a web shop or if you come into a store where the music is very loud. You remember those Cool Cat stores we used to have in the Netherlands? I think they went bankrupt.
You basically ran into a discotheque and you tried to buy your clothes there, right?
Yeah. And to me, that was just like cognitive overload. So I would never buy anything in that store. But in web shops, when they are like, oh yeah, let's use fancy sliders and animations and whatever, same effect. So this is not even about, can I operate this shop by keyboard only? This is about what a shitty web shop.
Definitely. And there's so much research being done also that tells you about people that are blind, for example, that use the web in a different way. I believe it's 75% of blind web shop users, so blind shoppers, they don't want the cheapest product. They're not there for a bargain. I guess that goes for all of them. They simply want a web shop that works for them. 75% just, they're not even Googling for where can I get the cheapest product or what is there on the market. They just keep going to the shops they know. They go to the ones that they know are accessible and they work for them.
I think before we go on with this topic, for everyone listening, the definition of blind is not what most people think it is or assume. This is what I learned from all people with visual impairments. Because being blind can also mean that you do still see colors or you still see some shades, but you cannot read the text, not even with your super duper glasses. That's also blind. The number of people that really have no light in their vision is relatively small, but the number of people known as blind in general, that number is massive. And I think, Taka, you have the numbers on that in your head much more than I do.
Oh yeah, I haven't got all the numbers in my head, but it's true what you're saying. And I think that's important to emphasize as well, that when we just say blind, we're talking about a way bigger audience than the ones that see, or we imagine that they see, well, nothing, it's something black or whatever. The amount of symptoms, which you just mentioned, like not seeing color or seeing color, but everything constantly vibrates or moves, or you need to zoom in to 400%. There is such a wide array of impairments that when we say blind, that's just us being lazy and not calling them all by their name and being too specific. And that is not out of disrespect at all. That is just us talking and knowing that we're talking about a way bigger audience. And then,
you mentioned zooming in. Do you know how many people love their sticky menu?
Ah, yeah.
You know what? Hey, you dear web shop owners and web shop creators, you love your sticky menu? Just press the command under control button on your keyboard and start hitting plus until you get to 200%. Can you still navigate your website? Because this is what a lot of people do, also older people do. And in fact, I have seen lots of young people who are so tired of this whole impulse circus that they get on their iPhone or on their other smartphone or their Android, whatever smartphone, they will enlarge the text because they're tired of all the impulses. And you and your wonderful sticky menu with best intentions of the world, your menu is overlaying and overlapping your entire website. And these are those subtleties that we would love to tell you about and educate you about, because this is all stuff you can check by yourself. And I think, Taka, this is very important that we make people aware of the fact that they have so much capability to try for themselves. Try and navigate your website by the keyboard or do enlarge the page. Because even you, if you're not an accessibility educated specialist, you can find these problems and solve them.
And it all comes down to using semantic HTML. If you don't go too fancy and you pay attention to how elements are intended to be used in your project, you're already doing so much. And I think that's another important thing to address, that both Anne and I, we know there is no such thing as 100% accessible. And it is a really good aim, this dot on the horizon, to aim for 100% accessibility. But it's also a sort of a moving target. This techie world that we work in, design developments, there's trends, developments, it's constantly moving. And also the guidelines are, well, not moving that fast, but there is movement there also to address new developments or to make sure that accessibility, the guidelines that are in place, can be used on all projects.
Whether you're a product or a site builder, OmniSend can help you with your customer or client's email and SMS through their CRM solution for WooCommerce. Product builders can bring their plugins and SaaS to a new level for their customers by integrating with OmniSend. And for you developers and agencies, recommending them to your clients for managing their customer relationships is spot on, because it gives them the right tool to build their email and SMS lists, send targeted campaigns, create automation workflows, and track their results, all from within their WordPress dashboard. With over 100,000 e-commerce stores already on board, have your clients and your customers get started for free by simply having them search for the OmniSend plugin on WordPress.org. As a builder or an agency managing multiple sites, check out Hostinger.com. Their infrastructure brings your client's site speed, uptime, and security. Also, at your fingertips, you'll find a powerful suite of tools for security and performance, code and content management. Now add to that the ability to manage your WordPress website through WP CLI for control configuration and plugin updates, enhanced WordPress acceleration powered by Lightspeed Enterprise, control over auto updates, free migrations, and of course, the essential staging sites. Through all of their services and features comes e-commerce optimization for your clients' Woo shops. So when you think about it, overall, everything you need to keep your client sites running smooth can be found with their agency hosting at Hostinger.com.
You were talking about trends, right? Let's talk trends here. Let's talk frameworks, because we, in the accessibility world in generally, I observe this so much. We tend to get a little mad at people who are like, how come you don't learn these 50-ish HTML elements? Why are you using the chameleons that can't do anything called div and span? Why? And then at some point, I discovered that a lot of developers don't even know that this is not the right way, because they are depending on the latest and greatest framework and someone publishes something like this. And especially younger developers don't know that they don't know this. I don't know how to say it differently. It's
you don't know what you don't know. So if you're just stepping into this kind of job or a new role, you're young, just out of school, or maybe you didn't even learn this in school. You just got this from, I don't know, TikTok or something. We're probably too old to address the TikTok generation, but kids learn how to program before they ride a bike these days. But if you don't know that this is important, and this is important for a reason, like, how are you going to find out? You can only run into it by accident or someone telling you that it's important and something to address. That I think it's not weird to see projects and frameworks and people hopping on the latest trends. And that totally makes sense, especially in the world that we live in and the role of this TikTok-like social media. It's super fast and it's all about fast trends and kind of developments. Then there's this thing of AI. Is AI trained enough to advise you on, if you ask for help, is it telling you, hey, by the way, if you do it in this and that way, it is more accessible than the other example I gave you. I haven't seen that personally. I think AI can have do a lot of good, but it's in some aspects also doing a lot of wrong when it's about
damage, I would call it. Sure.
Damage, maybe, yeah. So yeah, it totally makes sense. If you don't know what you don't know, it's like, how are you going to get to this information? And that's why I'm super glad I can be co-host of this podcast. I hope there's a lot of people listening also having these kind of questions like, hey, I didn't really, because I do realize that right now we're skipping from one topic to the other and we're both enthusiastic. We want to share a lot of information. We want to touch on all these subjects, and all these subjects can be an episode in themselves.
Also, yeah, what is also very important, one of the things I learned very quickly is that accessibility is incredibly overwhelming because, and I know I'm not going to make friends here now, but I call that the WordPress way. Unintentionally, WordPress became a vehicle for the all-in-one designer, developer, whatever.
And the role in WordPress, right?
Creating a digital product involves several disciplines. It creates marketing. It creates design. It needs design. It involves developers. It involves functional designers. Because the word design has been messed up over the years, because design, especially in languages outside of the English language, people always associate that with graphic. But design is how something works. And I have this example on my website about this restaurant that opened up with this really fancy interior, paid thousands, and they had these design chairs that were really lousy to sit on. And nobody came back. The chairs were flawed by design. Visually, they were attractive, but they were terrible to sit on. So, and this is, I think, one of the most important aspects that a group that I really want to grab and shake so much are the companies actually providing people with one all-in-one solutions. Because if you provide someone with an all-in-one solution, you are responsible to make sure that what happens under the hood, that what the user cannot influence, that you did your job.
I think we should really see that as a challenge. That's where the challenge that we want to hand over to the theme builders, the ones that are, or the more, without naming companies or tools, but the ones that offer these kind of solutions where you just either you spin up a WordPress site and you have a theme ready, or a theme builder, whatever, ready. Those are the ones that have an immense amount of impact in making sure that the theme that they offer, or the theme options that are there, that they are accessible. And if they are accessible in the core, and it's then even if you have no clue what you're doing, you're able to deliver a project or build yourself a project that is just accessible. Even if you're not aware or you're not even willing to make something accessible, it just is out of the box. And with the market share of WordPress, I think there is a huge opportunity. Like right now, we can just say that 98% of the web is inaccessible. It's really the very few that are fully accessible. So the state is terrible. And that also means that there is so much to change, and any bit of change is helping tremendously. But with WordPress, like it's in the 40s, 42% market share or something like that. Imagine the impact we can make as builders of the web, creators of the web using WordPress.
I can imagine right now, because now you hear, okay, 98% of the web is inaccessible, that some of you might feel a little desperation here and say, like, how are we going to change that? We don't know anything about that. I'd say keep listening, but also keep listening to other blogs. I'm sure Bob is not going to mind. You would also want to listen to the blog from Amber and Christopher Hines. I think I have to say it like that, from Equalize Digital, who can help you with their freely available plugin called the Accessibility Checker, which also happens to run on NASA. And also Steve Jones, who is doing the development there. And I know it's overwhelming, but what is very important for everyone to realize is that progress is more important than perfection. really, if everybody knew how important this is, it would have been done already. So don't get desperate. Just ask, just get in touch with us and get in touch with other accessibility specialists, because one of the things that we all have in common is that we don't see each other as competition. We don't have any competition. In fact, as we need an army of people who know about accessibility, it should be as normal.
There's not enough of us.
Enough of us. And it also means there is a massive business opportunity for so many people, so many agencies all over the world. Don't forget about that either. And it's.
I think right now, if you invest in knowledge and make sure that you become a better developer or designer or marketer, having accessibility in mind and knowing what you're talking about, knowing what tools to use, what not to do, you really have a competitive advantage, both on the market as a potential employee or maybe as an agency. Right now, it's pretty easy with a bit of dedication to do and be better than the rest. And that goes for the projects that we deliver as well. The projects that we hand over to our clients, they are better than the rest because they are accessible. They don't throw doors in your face or make you pick up the phone to ask about prices or how the site works or whatever. You can just find it on your own and you can just complete your shopping journey individually. And yeah, being able to do that makes you better than the rest. And there's a huge advantage. So don't wait and just embark on this journey with us.
Yeah. And talk about, you don't have to feel any shame, really. You don't, if you don't know about this, because the impact that it will have for you when you share with the world, hey, man, I know the stuff that I've created needs some improvement on the side of accessibility, or maybe even a lot, you don't know, but I am working on it. This message is so much more powerful than just take your pride and say, oh, I'm not going to talk about this until it's done. Because if you share about this information, you will find that so many people who work with accessibility, who know about accessibility, especially in e-commerce, if you go out there on LinkedIn or on Twitter and you're like, I run into this problem and I really don't know how to do it, does anybody know? People will jump out to assist you. And it's so worth it. Because of the lack of accessibility specialists, we are all becoming very expensive. And this is not meant as a threat. This is just a fact.
We've got to keep it light and positive, right? But there are some dark clouds entering the room.
If people haven't learned from the whole GDPR disaster, and I happen to live in Germany, in some country, but in Germany.
I'm so sorry for you. they are the strictest on whatever, that if there's a new rule or a law, is okay, let's go full on into this topic.
And the thing is, the users know the rules. So they're going to hang you up. And I really, again, we don't want to go into fear mongering and scaring, but this, I think this is pure realism. And I just want to stress the urgency of this, but also, again, if you stick to what you do best, whether it's development or design or content, expand your specialization with accessibility because, hey, it's not rocket science.
No, I don't think so. I think it's the opposite. It is keeping the end user in mind. And as a designer or a copywriter or a developer, that is your job to keep the end user in mind. And what you were saying earlier about reaching out to accessibility specialists or people to help, don't forget the amount of people that we're talking about. We're talking about like 30% is having some form of temporary or permanent disability. 30% of the Dutch population, roughly 25%, you can, to make it easier to count, with 25% of the European population has some form of a disability, whether that's permanent or temporary or it's visible or not. So you can also just reach out to your neighbor or someone close to you to test something for me or take a look at this design, or can you please go through this flow and tell me how you would approach it. The user testing with the audience that we're talking about is so important. And then when the next step is to improve that and to punish that, reach out to the accessibility specialist. But just talking to your audience is so valuable. And that's free. You don't have to hire expensive people for that.
And then you name something there, it's free. But hold on, people. If you start user testing seriously in the second stage after you had this accessibility specialist to help you and to coach you, that's where you stop asking people to do this for free. Please, just pay people for their time. You want to be paid for your time, they should be paid for theirs, because otherwise you're pushing them into a corner where they really do not belong. Do you like to do everything for free? If you are creating a web shop that is going to make you a lot of money and is going to make your boss a lot of money or the company that hired you, people who user test should be paid.
Valid point. And you're totally right. I was more referring to your sort of inner circle, people close to you that might want to help out. But I totally agree on the topic that
I know you do a lot of, you hire a lot of users to test. It's part of the budget.
We pay people for the value that they bring. So if we need someone that is blind or someone to either for an interview or for testing a project or whatever, yeah, of course we pay them. That's something that is, I would say, is a no-brainer. So that's a really good addition. Thank you.
As you can hear, this is going to be a very broad show. And it sounds like we're going from here to there and everywhere. But this is what it is. Accessibility is about society, and society is very broad. There are so many aspects to society, and there's just as much for accessibility. And also in the range where you probably may not expect it. One of the things that I really enjoy is when I show people what the world looks like for someone who is colorblind, with the most common form of colorblindness, the red and green deficiency. Mm-hmm. And then I show them how they created a web shop with a beautiful color picker. I love color pickers, but I do not love color pickers that do not have the color names below it. And then people will ask me, like, why would you want to put the color names below that color picker? Anyone can see what the colors are. And then I will start up my app. You can even do that in the browser.
Yeah, there's some great plugins for that you can just run in your browser to simulate these kind of situations.
We could do an entire show on tools.
I think so. And I think that's something that I want to address. You just mentioned that we're going all over the place. I would say blame it on enthusiasm. Blame it on a first time being co-host together, because this was not agreed.
Not planned.
Not in before half an hour before the show. So I think it would be good to bring some direction towards certain topics and future editions, just to make sure that we stay on the topic and so we can go in depth of a topic instead of just touching the surface. But I really hope that with touching the surface and going all over the room with this episode, that you get the hang of how broad the subject is and how much enthusiasm we will bring into the show talking about accessibility.
Yeah, really. So one of the things I would like to introduce to every show is the accessibility win. Now, what's an accessibility win? That is small or big, where you achieve something by making something accessible that either brought joy or stone cold profit or something that you learned that feels really great. I could start with sharing one of mine.
Please do. Yeah, you have something in mind.
Oh, yeah, I have one thing in mind, because I realized after listening to a meetup with Nicholas Steenhout, also a very well-known accessibility expert from Canada, if I'm not wrong, he said, after 25 years and now probably longer in this business, I still learn new things. And I was like, how can you still learn new things after 25 years? And then I went to this meetup presented by Rian Rietveld, also very well known, and Taka knows her especially well. And Rian showed me voice control. And I never, ever realized that if you create a button that has a different text under the hood, then visually, voice control is getting confused because you're giving it two different instructions. To me, that was a massive accessibility win to learn about this, to understand it, because it taught me again that we assume the obvious is obvious and it's not. And just then to run through your website or that of a customer and think, oh, let me quickly correct that and fix that. That's a great win.
Yeah, that is a great win. You surprised me with the win. But something that's top of mind is a project that we launched, I think, 2 years ago already, a tax authority that once per year is collecting taxes. And they had a pretty horrible website. They know who they are. And we were asked to redo that website. And by making that fully accessible, like really basically the highest score they could get, we managed to reduce the cost of the call center by 37%. Just because people could simply find the answer to what they were looking for. And they get a letter saying, hey, you need to pay this amount in kind of mumbo jumbo language. You have no clue what it's for, maybe. Or you don't speak the language really well. There's a huge audience that needs some more explanation about this.
Was that a Dutch tax office?
That was a Dutch tax authority. And yeah, just by making the website accessible and usable and useful for people, we had 37% less calls to the call center in that given peak period, which is an amazing result.
That is overhead reduction. Holy moly.
And that's these people at the call center are not waiting for this peak. They're sort of the same staff as normally. Nobody was fired. Don't worry.
Okay.
But just the example of being able to have a sort of a cost reduction or a reduction of it, it really shows how much they benefit from an accessible project. So we're not talking about making more money, we're talking about
saving it. Well, reducing costs is probably equally important.
But let's make sure that in every future episode, we have a nice win to share, and then we ask our guests also to come up with a win, something to share from their own experience.
Oh, yeah. And people go nuts on LinkedIn and Twitter and whatever channels you can find Do the Woo, and tweet and write and post to Do the Woo and ask your questions. And also, if you are one of the users that would love to come onto the show and speak about your experience and your hopes for what may happen.
Or even questions. I think you just have no clue where to start. Or, and I think we both would love to give some tips and tricks and get you on the right path. So let us know. We'll share some links. We'll share some info in the show notes, where to find us, how to reach out. I think we should wrap it up and leave it here and prepare for the future editions and start making a little agenda on what to address in what month.
I'm looking forward to that because the audience doesn't know it, but I met you, when did I meet you first? 2021, I think. I thought about you more in 2022 when we were both in WordCamp Europe.
Right, yeah.
And you were global lead and you asked me to join the sponsor team, which was great. And I was just so excited to be so close to you and to Leon and the Ali Collective. And I was like, oh, this is someone I can talk to. And I think this goes for us and many of us in general. We're very approachable. We don't live in an ivory tower. We welcome everyone.
No, I think we'd love to share more info on the topic and get people on the right path.
Oh, and I'm waiting for the impossible questions. I love those.
Bring it on.
Yeah. Oh, you know what topics are going to come up? The relationship between accessibility and fantastic SEO. And accessibility and conversions. There's so much stuff coming up. You got to keep listening. Come back every month.
We need to talk about some upcoming laws as well, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even I don't want to be the bringer of bad news, but it is a topic to address.
No. And also, if there are any legal advisors who have a say about this, or if you want to get together on our show as legal advisors, because this is maybe still a bit of a gray area for you. Like I said, it touches the entire society, even legal advisors. Yeah, we'd love to have you.
It was a pleasure being surprised being a co-host with you.
I was surprised too, and I love it.
And we're going to make a nice series of episodes on accessibility. And I'm already looking forward to the next one.
I do too.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Thank you too, Taka, and thank you for listening.
Well, I hope you are just as excited to hear what will be coming from these two in the upcoming months. I know that bringing them to the Do the Woo hosting team is a big win for everyone. And do make sure you check out our sponsors of all things WordPress and WooCommerce, Omnisend.com and Hostinger.com. So until the next time.